This evening to the Book of Psalms once again. If you were here this morning, you heard the beginning of the message or the first part of the message. And here in, we're going to kind of keep the theme of what we heard this morning a little bit going. In Psalms chapter 11, we looked at a little bit this morning. Title of this evening's message is kind of a part two. This morning's message title was, What Can the Righteous Do? And part number one, and then the second thing is part number two, What Can the Righteous Do? Part two. But you look in the story, and what interests me, there's a lot of different verses that interest me. This morning we focused a lot on verse number three, where it says, in chapter 11, where it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What are we going to do? And we're not talking about the foundation of Jesus Christ, because that's not going to be destroyed. We're talking about when things fall apart in your heart, things that fall apart in your life, things aren't going the way you do, what you think they're going to do, and what are you going to do as the righteous? And then here in chapter 12, what interests me in verse number 1, it says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And we looked at both chapters this morning a little bit with this thought, where are all the godly men and women? Where are all the godly men and where are all the godly women in the world today? Where are the children that want to live for God and teenagers that want a purpose in their heart to serve God? And we even looked at a lot of verses this morning talking about things like this. When it says in Proverbs 20, verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. And the Bible's saying, hey, look, there's a lot of people that can proclaim their own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? Book of Proverbs says also in 31, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And I think in the day and time we look at and live in, we look around the world and say, well, where are all the godly people at? Where are all the virtuous women? And where are all the faithful men? And then we were going to look at the word godly, and we were going to look at the word virtuous, and we were going to look at the word faithful, look at all those things. But I think we're going to focus in what's found here in chapter 12, talking about the idea of godly. And we're going to ask this question, where are the godly men? David here in this story, as chapter 11, we told you, had a little bit of implications, a response to a story. Chapter 12 is a different story. The passages can be seem like they're written side by side on purpose, and you know, the Lord does everything for a reason. Chapter 12 story is when David is now fleeing for his life. In chapter 11, it was they were trying to get him to leave, and he says, well, I trust in the Lord, and you're telling me to go away, but it's important to stay in God's will. If the foundations are destroyed all around us, if everything else fails, make sure you're staying in the will of God. And I think the challenges that we're finding in the day and time that we live in here in America, some things are falling apart. Some people thought we could trust. We can't trust. You think about that with politicians. Some people you thought was going to make the right choice, and they didn't. Sometimes we think certain churches are going to make the right decisions, certain men of God, certain family members, certain friends. When all those things that you're counting on, all those things fail and they falter, what is the righteous going to do? And David's saying, hey, look, I'm going to trust in the Lord. So this morning we looked at 2 points. We looked at what the righteous are going to do. They're going to trust in the Lord. And the second thing, they're going to trust in his word. And we looked at those this morning. And the third thing is we're going to live godly. Chapter 12, David is actually now fleeing for his life. If you know the story very well, it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and 22. David heads to a spot in the city of Nob. And in the city of Nob, he sees the Elimelech, the priest. David goes there to find refuge and food. He does not tell Elimelech that he's running from the king. He does not say that tell him that the king was trying to kill him. Different people believe different reasons for that. But here in chapter number 12, in 1 Samuel, there's a man named Doeg that is there, and he spies Elimelech helping David. David sees this man and knows there's going to be trouble, knows there's going to be a problem. David gets the food, gets the rest, even gets Goliath's sword. How cool is that? Well, he won it in the first place, but he gets Goliath's sword, and he heads out to one place and ends up in a cave. The story comes back that Saul, this bad guy, Doeg there, comes and tells King Saul what happens. And what King Saul does in his wrath and his furies, go kill all the priests. Wow. And after he goes and kills all the priests, not only does he kill the priests, he talks about how he kills the women and those babies and things like that. It's a complete devastation that's there. David hears back about that. David, I'm sure, would be obvious that we would feel guilty or feel at least partly this was my fault because they helped me. And that's when David writes the psalm. And the only thing he can say at the beginning, and I think it's the same thing, I think many times that we just need to fall on our face and say, help, Lord. Because that is the only place that we're going to get help. Now, when you continue and you read it, you say, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. The first thought would be, well, he's there and he's saying the godly man ceases. He's talking about the priest being killed. And there can be some application there, but it continues on a little bit farther where it talks about how the godly man ceases and the faithful fall from among the children of men. And then they begin talking how they speak in vanity. Obviously, those things cannot relate to the people that were killed. David is saying in his country, in his nation, he's looking around and he's looking for godly people. He's looking for people that stand for right and do what's right. And he's saying, look, the godly man ceases. The faithful, they've fallen among men. And what are we going to do if the godly man falls? If there is no godly man, if the faithful are no longer there, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? And that's what David's saying here. What is the righteous going to do if everything else we think is going to happen or should happen, it falls? When someone does something that disappoints you, someone does something that fails you, what can the righteous do? Everything you were counting on, you can live for God. You can be that godly person. This morning we looked at a few verses talking about how God's seeking individuals he can bless. Ezekiel 22:30 says, and I sought for a man among them, that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. And the Bible says that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And what a wonderful, powerful thought there. I searched the land. I wanted someone that was going to stand for the land, stand for God's people. And he says, I looked among them and I found no one that's willing to stand in the gap. And then I also think about those verses that's found in 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. God's looking for someone to bless. What is he looking to do? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So the scripture is saying there, God is looking and he's still looking. I believe he's looking for today for someone to do his will, for someone that is going to, even though the foundation has been destroyed, even though those things are not happening the way that you planned, everything is unfolding at a rate that seems like it's overwhelming and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust God, like David said. I'm going to make sure I'm staying in his will. The great danger of our life is not what the evil can do to us. The great danger that's in our life is that we get outside of what God desires for us to do. So, well, Pastor, they could do this, they could do that. They can't take heaven away from you. They can't do anything that's going to stop you from going to heaven and God blessing you. But what they can do and what people can do, you let people influence your life, they can get you out of God's will. As you see here in verses 2, 3, and 4, there are people who run their mouths. It even seems like when I'm thinking is saying that they used to be godly, they used to be faithful, they used to have this appearance, but now they're just running their mouth and they're trying to cause people to change. But the Bible says the word of God is true. It's pure. It's purified. Even it says 7 times in verse number 6. So my encouragement for you today is to ask this question. If God's looking for a faithful man or a woman, faithful man, virtuous woman, godly individuals, is he going to find it in our church? Is he going to find it in our homes? Is he going to find someone whose heart is perfect and right with them? Go ahead and take your Bibles to chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, I think, and once again, I can't say for sure this is how David feels, but I know that David's overwhelmed, hearing that all these priests are killed, these families are killed, and he's like, help, Lord, help, Lord. And we went through most of those verses this morning, but as a starting off point, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, the faithful fallen among men, the children of men. Here in Exodus chapter 32, you have the story of the fact that Moses goes up to the mount to get the Ten Commandments. And in this story, It says that in verse number one, it says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what was become of him. So he's saying, look, it's not turning out the way we thought it would. So I want you to do something. And Aaron, they want Aaron to make them gods. And it says, Aaron said unto him, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it into the graving tool after they had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods of Israel, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Man, what hypocrisy, what blaspheme, that God had just did so many things in their lives. And he points at this calf and says, there's your gods. This is what brought you up there. And the Bible continues on as it says, and when Aaron saw it and built an altar before it and proclaimed that, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Hey, we need to make sure we're paying some of the things we know we're supposed to do. And he says in verse number six, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. So they did their God thing. Now they want to do what they want to do. As you continue going on the story, he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And once again, it's a great story. I'm going to get to a point here in a second. Verses 10 and 11, God talks about destroying the nation. Moses stands in the gap for them. And then it says in verse 12, wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, and gives them a reason why he should not destroy him. The mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. And he continues to talk about it in verse 14, talk about the Lord changes his mind. In verse 15, and Moses turned and went down the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both sides, and on the one side and on the other side were they written. And the tables were the work of the Lord, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. So they're there, and they're talking about it, and they're coming down. Moses knows what's happening. We don't know if he's told Joshua. Moses knows what's happening, and Moses says, look, and Joshua looks at Moses and says, look, there's a noise of war, and thinking maybe someone's attacking, but Moses says, no, it's not war. Look what it says in verse number 18. He said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And they're sitting there, they're worshiping this false idol. I wonder what type of music they're listening to, what type of music they're singing. I tell you, music is a hot button topic. Music is something that is many people will lay on the altar of this world, and they say, let me do my God thing, but also let me go do what I want to do. And we got to be careful with that. And then Moses keeps on coming in, and it says, it came to pass as soon as he came nigh into the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. They're there. They're singing ungodly things. They're dancing in ungodly ways. And back in Bible times, there was godly ways, but that's not what happens today. It says that they are there and they're dancing in ungodly ways. And he says he broke the tablets. He took the calf, which they had made, and burnt in it the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel to drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought? And they begin to have this conversation. But I want you to skip down to verse number 26. I think most of us remember the story. Moses stands up in the middle. It says, and Moses stood up in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. So what are you getting at, Pastor? I'm thinking about that question. If the godly man is ceasing and the faithful man is falling among men, who is on the Lord's side? Who is there that's going to be that godly individual that God can bless? Who is there when the foundations have fallen apart? They're not over there worshiping the false god, not over there worshiping the false calf or whatever you want to call it. And they're changing everything about them and their music and the way that they live. Who is that person that's going to say, and Moses is saying, the rest of you are acting wicked and ungodly. Now, who is on the Lord's side? What you're doing is not for God, is not on God's side. You're worshiping some type of false idol. Now, is there someone who wants to join me over on God's side? And that's what David is saying. He hears all those things that has happened to these priests, and he's saying, look, the godly have been destroyed. The godly are no longer there. The man ceases. And we need people today. We need men and women. Our country is in desperate need. Our families are in desperate needs. Our homes, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, they need godly people. But you look around the world, is there godly people? You say, okay, what's the word godly mean? I'm glad you asked. The word godly means holy. I asked one preacher I really respect, a very intelligent man. He says, has the character of God. Many of the different breakdowns, they use the word pious, and it uses the idea of reverencing and honoring God in their heart. And I like the idea of someone who fears the Lord. Is there people today? If the Lord returns, is he going to find faith? Is he found godly people? Are we individuals and people that are holy, that have the character of God in our life? We reverence him and we honor him in our hearts. We fear him. And that is the type of person that God is going to bless. That's the type of person that's going to stand in the gap. That's the type of person that God's going to use. So the rest of the message is going to be talking about individuals whose foundations were broken, seemed like everything was a mess, but God was able to use. Because at that moment in time, they were godly. Think about the story of Noah. You go back, and I'm going to read a lot of verses when it comes with these different characters. Noah, it says in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, and God saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And repented God that he made man on earth and agreed to him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for to repent of me that I have made him. Then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you that in a time when the world was so wicked and the world was so wrong and the world was so bad that God said he is going to destroy the world, there was someone that God saw. And yes, I know it's grace, and I know what the word grace means, but there was someone who loved the Lord and was living for God. Even says later on in the book of Genesis chapter 6, I think it is, there's two men that walked with God, as found in the Bible. Enoch was one, and it says Noah walked with God. He was a godly individual. The world's in chaos. Everyone's mind is on evil all the time. And he found one family he could bless. Are we that type of individual? I think about Joseph. If anybody whose foundations was destroyed, you imagine being sent away from your brothers. You imagine your brothers hating you so much they sell you into slavery. You imagine going to Potiphar's house and you go on all those different things. And he looks at the sin that Potiphar's wife offers. And once again, everything has changed in his heart. Everything has changed in his life. All those things that he was counting on, those foundations have been destroyed. And it says Joseph said that when he was tempted, this is what he said, there is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So, Pastor, what are you getting at? He was faced with a choice, and he said, hey, I love God more than I love that sin. I reverence God more than I do that I want to do that sin. I want to be a holy person. I want to be a person that is godly. I want to be a person that makes a choice that I don't need to touch that unclean thing. You know what? I want God to bless me. And no matter what God chooses to bless or how he chooses to bless, my foundation may be destroyed, but there's still a God I can live for and serve. You continue on. There's so many. I think about the story of Daniel. You know, you think about Daniel, if somebody's foundation that was must have been crushed. Now, once again, we mentioned it a lot this morning. Foundation, no one's going to crush the foundation of Jesus Christ. We looked at that. We understand that. That's the foundation there we should build our lives upon. When they're talking about in chapter 11 of Psalms, he's saying when the foundations are destroyed is when your world is turned upside down. What are the righteous going to do? We should live for God. We should trust in his word, and we should be godly people. We should trust in him. Daniel is taken by an emperor, and he's taken away as a slave all the way over thousands of miles to another nation. And he is there, and he has a choice. And they put meat in front of him. They put drink in front of him, probably nicer than anything he's ever seen in his life. And he says, I can't do it. He looks at those things, and even though foundations have all been destroyed, even though everything has changed, he looks at those things that they're telling him to do and says, I can't do it. I reverence God too much than to defile myself. Daniel 1:8 puts it this way, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would defile himself, that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor in the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And you think later on, same thing happens. Daniel's life has changed. He's been exalted up. And in Daniel chapter 6, they write this edict saying they can't pray to anybody else but to the king. What would have been easy for Daniel to do? Daniel could have went and prayed inside his house. Nobody would have ever known. But it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, when the foundations of what he was living on at that moment in time, his health, his security, when all that was taken away, he says, I care more about serving God than what could happen to me. I reverence him. And that's what godly is. It's nothing that the circumstances of his life is not going to change how I live. And Daniel, it says, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, when things had changed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That's what he had done before. And you say, Pastor, what are you getting at these examples? Hopefully they encourage your heart that things were crazy back then for Daniel. Things were crazy for Joseph. Things were crazy in Noah's day. That there was someone that God looked at and said, there's somebody I can bless because they're godly. And the godly man ceases, is what David was saying. He says he's looking around and he can't see people that are living for him today. And we should say, hey, God, I want to be that godly person. I want to be that person that has their heart perfect and right with you so you can show yourself strong if you choose to. I want to be that individual that's willing to stand in the gap. I don't want to put things before God. I don't want to put the world's desires in to fit in. I want to be a person that says, hey, I'm going to live for God and I don't care what anybody else thinks. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same thing with Daniel, taken from their land. It talked about many times those Babylonian captivities that people watched their own parents killed. And they were very cruel. And they go, and they're in this land. They don't defile themselves also. They're there, and we all know the story about the big giant statue or idol that's there, and they're commanded to bow down. Once again, their life is on the line. We worry about fitting in. Their life is being thrown into a furnace. Their life is on the line. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer this. Says, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And so what the story is saying here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, I see the choice. I see that you're king. I see that you're emperor. I see your big idol there. But you know what? I reverence God more than that idol. I reverence God more than you. And you, if you're going to try to force your life upon me, you're going to try to force wickedness upon me, my answer is God can deliver me. God's going to deliver me. If God chooses not to deliver me, I'm still not going to worship your idol. Why is that? He was godly. He cared more about what God thought than he did about Nebuchadnezzar. And I can imagine in that sea of people that were there, these three that are standing up, I'm sure there's a bunch of Jew captives that were taken also. I'm sure there are people that were taught the same laws. I'm sure there are people that were from the captivity the same way. And they're there and they're bowing and they're just saying, hey, just fit in. Don't worry about it. Just come on, come on, get down here. You don't want to get burned. You don't want to get killed. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, no. There's something more important in this life than fitting in. There's something more important in this life than just getting along and doing what the world says. I want to be a godly person. I don't have to listen to what the world says. And that's when you go back to chapter 12. We looked at it this morning in verses 2, 3, and 4. It talks about how their mouths run and how people try to convince you another way. How are we ever going to make a difference if we're not different? And we talked about this morning. How are we ever going to turn the world upside down when we look, act, and smell just like it? You think, and that's not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It wasn't Daniel or Joseph either. You keep on going, you think about the stories of Peter and John we heard last week. You know, they were thrown in jail for healing the lame man. And what did they say? Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. They were faced with a choice. Submit to us or you're going to be punished. They said, we're going to listen to God. And of course, if someone came in this room with a gun and said, deny Christ or die, I can imagine most of us would say, I'm not going to deny him. But in our everyday lives, we're come up with choices. We're faced with temptations. Are we valuing God more than our own desires and others' desires? I know I mentioned a bunch of gentlemen there. There's also some ladies whose lives are torn apart too. Foundations were broken. Things were not turning out the way they should in their mind. I think about Hannah. Hannah, I'm sure, didn't sign up for the not having children. I'm sure Hannah did not like having, be married, her husband married to another woman that mocked her. What does Hannah do? It says that Hannah vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon my affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You read the story about Hannah. Life wasn't the way she thought it was, but what's she going to do? She prays and she asks God. She asks God for a deliverer. When she's talking about the Nazarite vow that they're talking about taking, about no razor coming to his head, Hannah's not just looking for someone that she can enjoy. She said, Lord, I'm going to give him back to you. This country needs that. I think about not only Hannah, I think about the story of Ruth. Where is the virtuous women's? Ruth is even remembered, called in Ruth chapter 3:11. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Ruth loses her husband. Mother-in-law wants her to turn around. She's in a foreign land that really doesn't like her. And what does she do? It says she goes out in chapter 2, verse number 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz. She just goes out and does what she knows she's supposed to do. She keeps on serving. She puts God in the equation and says, I know what it's going to mean to go to Israel. I know what it means when to go to Bethlehem. Those people hate the Moabites. Those people are not going to respect me. Those people are not going to care for me. She doesn't know what the future holds, but she knows that there's a God that she wants to follow and serve, and that's in Israel. It's not back in Moab. Do you care more about God and what God thinks than anything else in your life? You think about the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Talk about having your world turned upside down. You're going to have a baby. I haven't even known a man. What is my parents going to think? What are his parents going to think? Is anybody going to believe me? Is Joseph going to believe me? What does Mary say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know what she said? Lord, whatever you want. That's what a godly individual looks like. I care more what God says and what God thinks than my own feelings or how someone else looks at it. Where are the people like that today? Now, don't get me wrong. I think we got a great church. We got some wonderful people. But like we talked about this morning, Samuel, when he looked at David's older brother, he says, that's the guy. But God said, nope. You're looking on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. I don't know your hearts. I know in my heart there's a desire to be a godly individual. When I read something that the godly man ceases, I say, I don't want that to happen here at Faith Baptist Church. I don't want that to happen in Elizabeth City. God, show me what I need to do to be able to reference you. Show me what I know I fall so short. This is my desire, Lord. When you're saying, where is a faithful man? They're hard to find. I want to be that faithful man. I just don't want to be dependable. I want to be a person that believes and trusts and that's full of faith. Lord, help me be that individual. Lord, use me whatever way you want. And I know that our nation needs it. I know our families need it. I know our church is needed. I'm hoping in your heart and mind you see these men, you see these women, you even see teenagers. Daniel's probably an older teen when he leaves. You see David stand up against Goliath probably as a teenager. Where are the teenagers that say, hey, I want to live for God. I don't care what anybody else say. I'm not going to put other things in front of me. I care about what God says, what type of testimony is. But many times we have no testimony because we look and act like the world. And you think about tonight's Super Bowl night. I told my Sunday school class my story about the 1 year I skipped church to watch the Super Bowl because the Steelers are at home. I justified in my mind the Steelers lost. I tell everybody, hey, it's the Steelers lost. It's because I stayed home from church. The joke is, people say, well, don't you think Cowboy fans stayed home too? The joke is, I said, I never met a Cowboy fan that went to church, but I have. But at the same time, it's this thought here. Am I going to give up church for a football game? I mean, come on, that's I care more about God than I do about a football game. I think about Esther. And I think about the story. And you say, Pastor, that's a hard thing to do, what you're talking about. People did it. The foundations were destroyed. What can the godly do? What should the godly do? They can trust in the Lord. Now, you hear about the story of Esther. She was there. Her people are getting ready to get killed. And she's included. She doesn't realize that. Now, she shies away from it for a second or two, but she comes to the realization. I'm not trying to candy coat her or make it pretty. If you go and you look through the Bible about the word godly, there's tons of references, and we were going to go through them, but the Lord led me to give a lot of Bible characters and said, but he's, you know what it says about, yay, it talks about those that live godly, what are they going to do? They're going to suffer persecution. It's not going to be pretty. But he still tells us that we're supposed to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I think that's Titus 2:12. It says it right there. It doesn't say, hey, it's just for the super Christian that's up there. It's just for the pastor. It's just for the Sunday school teachers. It's just for the deacons. No, he's talking to Titus, and Titus, he's writing a letter. Hey, look, teach him this. Teach him this. Teach him to live soberly and righteously and godly. That means having the character of God, reverencing God, and thinking as God thinks, as best we know how. Esther was determined at the beginning not to do it, but then she finally came up with this decree. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she got to a spot where she realized, Mordecai said, maybe God put you there for such a time as this, just for this reason. And I tell you, in the day and time we live in, the families we have, the church we have, maybe God put us here. Maybe he wants us to be a witness of a certain person. Maybe he wants us to be for young people in their schools and for us at our work. And what a challenge. But she says, you know what? I learned something. Pleasing him is more important than my own life. Last one, we're going to use the example as a lady, and we're going to finish for the Bible character examples. It's a story of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was barren, and also her husband, obviously. They didn't have children, but the Bible specifically said Elizabeth's barren. But listen to about the testimony of Elizabeth that's given in Luke chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And it says, and they were both righteous, husband and wife, before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Elizabeth did not get what she desired. She wanted a child. You go and you read the whole chapter, it talks about how she looked at it as it was a reproach in her. But it doesn't say that that reproach caused her not to live for God. She's well stricken in years. She's older than maybe anybody inside this room. But her testimony was that she was bitter. She didn't get what she wanted. She didn't turn her back on God. It says that they were both righteous before God, not righteous in man's eyes, so much different. Righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. What a fantastic testimony. You would think that's a person that gets everything they want from God. She didn't have the thing she wanted the most. To me, when it says the godly man ceases, is where are the people that say, I care more about what God thinks than anything else? And I still think of Samuel there. I think he's been influenced by Saul. He saw Saul be king, and he thinks, this is the right guy. And God's like, no, you're looking at all the wrong things. That's the guy you want. In the world's mind, this is the right guy. In the world's mind, this is the guy that can fit in. This is what everybody else is going to accept. This is what everybody else is going to be good with. But David's the guy out there, and God says, I found me a man. I found me someone who has the characteristic of, he's a man after my own heart. That is a person that says they want the heart of God, they care about the heart of God, and that's the person that God says, I found a king that can rule over my people because his heart is right. He's godly. So today, if you didn't get anything out of the messages because they were combined together, and God doesn't work in speaking your heart about, hey, am I godly? Do I want to be godly? Do I desire that? I'm sorry you didn't get anything. But for me today, God worked in my heart and said, you know what? Even though the foundations may seem unsure, and even though the world disappoints, our country disappoints, individuals disappoint, what should the righteous do? You know what? We should live for God. We should trust in him, like it says in chapter 11, verse 1 that we looked at this morning. We should trust in his word, not what man says, not the reckoning of man. Anybody can figure out and make something sound good. I still am amazed about some of the things that are coming out of people's mouths, trying to make reason of the bills that they're trying to pass, and they try to make it sound good. That you can make anything sound good. But the question is, do you care more about what God thinks? Or what other people think, or about what you think. Because if you care somewhere else instead of God, the godly man's going to cease. If the godly man is not here amongst people that have listened and learned and had Bible and prayer across the room, most of us have been here coming for a while. If we haven't got it and we don't have a desire to be godly, who is? If we don't stand up and say, I want to be that person in the gap, and I know that might cause some friction someplace, but I care more about what God thinks than I think, then who will? Where's the young people that say, hey, I want to live for God. I want to be like a Daniel or a David or like that little girl that said to Naaman, hey, you should know about the prophet that's in Israel. Where are the teenagers that say, hey, I want to give my life to God and I'm going to pray? Where's the moms and dads, husbands and wives, men and women that says, I want to be that faithful man that is so sparingly. I want to be that virtuous woman that is priced as far above rubies. I want to be a godly individual. But like we looked at this morning, so many of us are addicted to something that we don't act like him. We don't have the character of God. We're just happy not having the character of the bad people in the world. Hey, I got the character. I'm a good guy. I'm a good person. People look at me like Samuel looks at that guy, that brother David. Hey, he's good. Look at him. He's wearing the right things, saying the right things. He's big. He's strong or whatever. He's looking good. He doesn't look like those troublemakers. We need to look at our hearts tonight and say, do I have a desire to be a godly man? I think David, once again, I don't know the answer, but David's struggling here in chapter 12. He's just heard about all the priests that died, people he had respect for. The one priest's son is there. He says, help, Lord. the godly man ceases. He went and did this. The town of Nob was destroyed. And he's saying, God, the godly man ceases. It's done. It's over with. What am I going to do? And I think it's like Moses coming off that mountain. Now, once again, David wasn't perfect in the circumstances in my mind. What if it happened at Nob? Moses crushing out the stones. I don't think it really needed to happen. God already told him what was going to happen. But he comes down and he asks the question, who's on the Lord's side? I like to ask that question tonight. Are you on the Lord's side? He said, Pastor, of course I am. It's Super Bowl night, which I know does not mean anything to probably like 85% of you. I know many of you don't even like football and don't even like it when I use it as an illustration and talk about it because you don't care, which I understand. I get that. But are you on the Lord's side? Because if you're on the Lord's side, this is for you. If you want to be godly, this is what it means. And you see these examples. None of them are perfect people. They all struggle. We're all humans. We all fall short of the glory of God. But they were people that God blessed when the foundations were destroyed, the things were not turning out the way they were supposed to, and they chose to trust God. In their day, the godly man didn't cease. The godly woman did not cease. I'm wondering if the Lord's looking to and fro throughout America. You got to find a person that has faith. So you're going to find a godly individual, a faithful man, a virtuous woman. It's easy to talk about America because, yeah, he's got to find somebody. What about North Carolina? What about in Elizabeth City? What about in her church? What about in her house? Don't let the godly people cease. Don't let the things of this world rob you of what you can have and you can enjoy. The addictions of this world has overtaken so many people's lives, they don't even enjoy their Bible or reading their Bible or praying or godly music. It's because they're addicted to something else. Let's be passionate about Him. Let's be passionate about God. David says, Lord, help, or help, Lord. Either way it works. I think we need to cry that out. But we also need to be that person that says, I'm willing to be that godly person. I'm willing to set aside some things of this world so God can help use me to make a difference. Is there not a boy or girl, a teenager, a man or woman that will say, I'm on the Lord's side and I want to be godly? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the story of David, two different times in his life where the foundation seemed like they were crumbling, the things he was counting on. He said, what should the righteous do? Lord, we need to learn to trust in you. We do. Lord, we need to learn to trust in your word. Lord, we need to learn how to be godly. Challenge our hearts tonight. Help us at least be honest with ourselves if there's something we're falling short in. And let God work in our hearts and lives tonight. Lord, help us answer this call that I want to be someone that God can use. I want to be godly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation. The altars are open as the pianist plays.